Welcome to From Carpool to College, a show for parents who are trying to keep their sanity while navigating the college planning landscape.
Welcome to From Carpool to College. I am Tracy Amadeo.
And I'm Tara Horitz.
Oh, we are so busy, Tara.
I know. We're ramping it up, right?
We are ramping it up. And today we're going to talk about the college essay some more. We know we've talked about it before, but there's a lot to talk about. And I feel like Tara's always revising. We do workshops for our private practice, and we never just wash, rinse, and repeat. We're always adjusting. So we wanted to give our listeners today some fresh updates and important reminders about nuggets you need to know about the college essay and where writing falls into that app. So without further delay, what do you have for us, Tara? You have like a whole bunch of notes over there.
I do. And I always try to research for the next, you know, what happened in the last cycle and then coming up to the new information as we move into the applications for the next year. I think that it's good to keep track of certain things, right? What students are writing about, how these essays are being read and scored, and also just what they're looking for in terms of the admissions counselors and
Kind of the why.
The why,
know, right? Because they're building. We talked about this with we had another guest on when Shari Castelli was here, that colleges are building a class and they're looking for people to be unique in themselves. And the essay is that opportunity for a student to kind of breathe a soul into the application and to say, this is who I uniquely am. And that helps that admissions counselor craft and kind of curate the next graduating class. So it's no pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure at all.
And in the past, I think a lot of independent counselors have said, you know, it's something that you want to talk about that hasn't been mentioned in other parts of the application, right?
Yep.
But you have to be careful with that because, you know, there are some things that they may overlap a little bit, and it's just how you tell the story a little bit differently, right?
Sure.
So it's not that you have to shy away from something that was mentioned in the application, but it's a way for you to explain it where we can really kind of go into like a deep dive on it and just really get to understand the student better.
For sure.
So, one of the things that comes up are the topics, right, that they're going to write about.
Right, and the common essay prompts.
Yes.
Right, the prompts.
From Common App.
And they will pop like early in the calendar year. It's kind of funny. They make a big deal out of it. It's like this big rollout, like now announcing the Common App essay prompts for the such and such cycle. And it's like, wah, wah, same thing.
Yeah. And you can find them on Common App, right?
Yeah.
And when you look.
And Google them.
It's. This one says, you know, so I'm on Common App right now, and it says, we're happy to announce that the Common App essay prompts will remain the same.
Shocker. Which is good for us, because that number set, was it number 7?
Yes.
The last one, that's my favorite. Write about a topic of choice.
Oh, now it's number 1.
Oh, now it's number 1.
Well, it's listed here as number 1.
They're so cute.
I guess depending on where you look, but.
That's like when I move my furniture around the living room and think, oh, it's a whole new living room set, but I just move the furniture around.
Yeah. Yep. So obviously, topic of choice is the number 1 hit from last year's cycle. 28% of students were looking at that one. But the 7 topics are topic of choice, facing adversity, personal growth, background identity, interest or talent, intellectual curiosity, gratitude, challenging an idea. And challenging an idea was probably the one that was least written about.
I don't know.
According to their
stats
here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only 3% of students. So for what that's worth, I mean, you could take that and say, well, I have a really good topic that would work and fit that category. Maybe it would be worth writing and exploring that a little bit more because it's not read as much. And so
sure.
It might be refreshing to the person reading it or the bot reading it.
The bot or the person. I had a college admissions counselor in a couple of weeks ago in my day job. And my day job, I'm a college and career counselor. And I have admissions reps come in and do visits. And I always ask them, like, what's up? What do my kids need to know? When I say kids, I don't mean my own offspring. I mean my, you know, 400, my 400 seniors and
right.
400 juniors and my clients and my, you know, our audience for the podcast. And I said, come on, give me something. Give me a nugget. are you reading all these essays? And she was at a school of about 2,000 people.
Okay.
A liberal arts school up in the greater Boston area.
Okay.
And good school, big fan. And she's like, I read every single essay. I was like, oh, all right, cool. I'm like, do you use AI to scan it? She's like, you know, the AI scans on our side is inconsistent. She's like, I'll scan for things. And you just want to make sure there's no errors, this and that. I said, well, I'm going to be doing a workshop with my students. And I explained how I do it. And I said, you know, we try to generate topics. She goes, I have a funny story. She says, for whatever reason, this year, the hot topic for writing college essays for the kids, they were submitting essays about a topic called Sonder. Have you heard of it? No, I had to look it up. I actually looked it up right now on Google.
Okay.
Too. Like, I had to look it. I was like, Sonder? She says, yeah, Sonder. Apparently, it was like a TikTok trend. It was in the young adults in the 16 to 18-year-olds algorithms.
Yeah.
And Sonder is the, I'm reading this verbatim from Google. Sonder is the profound coined realization that every random passerby is living a life as vivid, complex, and real as your own, complete with their own ambitions, friends, routines, and worries. It was coined in 2012 in the Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows by John Koenig. All right, so I don't even know. Highlighting that every one is the main character in their own story. Okay, so saying that, apparently she thinks, and the admissions counselors she was talking to when they were sharing this idea, because the admissions counselors in schools talk to each other, mm-hmm. because they go to college fairs together. It's like a whole really cool subculture. I joke. I said, I want to do a reality show on them because they're funny as hell.
Yeah.
They're funny. They're smart. They're all attractive. They're really cool people.
Yes.
If anyone is in the industry, the entertainment industry, you heard it here first. Your next reality show is college admissions counselors. Such a cool population. Anyway, she was talking about it with her friends and they were like, oh my God, we had essays like that too. So in a school of just 2,000 kids attending, she read almost 100 essays on that topic. So they think the theory is, the hypothesis is that kids were going to AI for ideas about what to write about. And somehow AI was spitting out the same thing for people, for things to write about. And it sounds pretty cool for an emerging adult to write about.
Yeah,
it's
kind
of philosophical and deep, you know, a little edgy maybe. I mean, for a 53-year-old woman reading it, I'm like, ugh, no. Honestly, I'm like,
right.
Oh, you mean empathy?
Right.
But I just thought that was an interesting nugget because, Harry, you're very immersed in the college essay process with our clients and you do an extensive, you know, extensive workshops. It's interesting that AI is spitting out this topic and kids are biting. So
yeah,
to your point, you know, just about kind of being human with these things is important for our listeners.
Yeah. So here's the thing. And you know this, Tracy, I feel very, very strongly about this. You get to a point where you're writing the college essay where you do have to block out those influences, right? And go like do a little soul searching. And what are those topics that you feel you could sit and talk to someone about? What is that one story that you've told to people and they sit back and they go,
yes.
No way.
Right. Yes.
Because that's the piece. That's the story. That's the nugget. That's the thing that will get the most on the paper, passion, you'll be able to write from the heart. It will definitely translate well when somebody's reading it because a lot of times you can see through and see what's superficial or what people think that they want a college counselor to, you know, someone to read, an admissions counselor. But if it's true, if it's coming from your heart, if it's that story, That's where you're going to have a win.
Yeah,
for sure.
I had a mini college fair at my high school, and I was talking to one of the reps from a SUNY school. SUNY is the State University of New York, so one of the SUNY schools. And I always ask, like, "Hey, give me some nuggets." He goes, "I got one." He says, "If a student can't sit in front of me, an applicant can't sit in front of me and tell me the story of their essay, they shouldn't be writing it."
Mm-hmm.
Like, it should be, to your point, Tara, so them, so fluent, so real that they're able to sit in front of the admissions counselor and say, oh, this is my essay, and just tell the story. Mm-hmm. And he said, in a way that it filters out being authentic and also appropriateness, because he was telling me that some people just like treat it as a journal and trauma dump.
Yeah.
And that certainly when our kids are opening up, we want to circle the wagons around them, but time and place, right?
Right.
So the time and place is not at the college essay for those kind of trauma experiences and sharing it. So yes, talk about hardships, but there is a line, and he was even saying, and I've had calls like this too, where they'll call the school counselor of record and say, hey, BTW, your kid just submitted an application, and in their essay, they wrote about surviving, you know, sexual assault or witnessing a murder, or, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
right. Which, you know, it's their story. It's a story of survival for sure, mm-hmm. but it needs to be massaged in a way that is more of who they are than what happened to them.
But it might be a way to get to their essay.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's a stepping stone.
Correct.
Right? To get get across the river, whatever it may be. So you have – you can't – well, maybe you can, but I haven't seen it where someone can sit down and just write their essay in one sitting without taking that opportunity to kind of like keep reflecting and going back. But the thing that you feel like, oh, I don't know if I can write about this. Okay, maybe you shouldn't write about the whole thing. You can take a piece of it and deep dive with it. Or you can take a piece of it to kind of set it up to go into a different part of that story. But don't put off, like, don't kick it away, something that could possibly lead you to where you want to be with that story.
Right. Right. We talk about vulnerability as being powerful, but you have to pair that with the growth.
Yeah. And also the audience, right?
Right. And know your audience.
So know your audience. Yeah. So, again, the essay is not a resume, right? So it's not something found on the college application. It is a way to showcase, you know, a piece of you. With regards to AI or going on social media to look for things and ideas, I have mixed feelings about that. Because
there's the teacher. There's the teacher.
I think, first of all, it's tempting, right?
You're talking to a woman who named her AI and has a relationship with him right now that my husband gets jealous about. So tell me. I'm going to be defensive. Tell me. I am.
No. I don't think it should be a big, hard no. I don't think that when people are writing their essays, they necessarily need to just sit in a room and like with pen and paper and write. I think you can explore different ways. And if you go on AI and you ask it a question to just maybe gain a little bit of knowledge of how you could approach something, I don't think that there's anything wrong with it.
Right.
But at some point, you need to know when to step away from that and then go into your own essay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think kids sit in there overthinking that they're trying to impress as well.
Yeah.
Like, I'll say essays of 10 years ago, I remember was very much like, you know, talking about my leadership and all these the great things I've done. It's like, barf. You know, like just kind of braggadocious, or I don't know, just kind of going into just pontificating about something. And it's like, kid, listen, you're 17. You gotta know that you're perfectly imperfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that admissions counselors who are reading these essays, and don't assume it is AI reading it, I think that it's important. They want to see the vulnerability and the imperfections. They don't want it to read like this award-winning, I'm going to get the prize, I'm going to, you know, whatever, win the scholarship, whatever it may be. They don't want to see that. In fact, that is more of like a turnoff to them. I'll give you an example. I was going over during my day job a list of short essays that the students were writing. And I had a student raise their hand and say, oh, can I share mine? And it was so much AI. And the fact that they wanted to share it, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they were just so impressed that they could take what AI gave it and then give it a little more and whatever. But in talking with my colleagues, I said to them on several times, I really wish that it was at the grade level, because to me, even more so than ever, that is so much more refreshing than years ago when you would get this really impressive essay. Now I welcome the little errors, or not that you want to have errors in your college essay, but little just grade appropriate, age appropriate ways of looking at things.
Yeah, the human nuances.
Yeah.
Yeah, the human part. Tara and I were just talking the other day. We talk every day, and we talk about our podcasts and our clients and our kids and our dogs, like you, and our husbands, like you name it. We're always chitty chatty. And Tara found a podcast that was completely automated by AI.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard about them, but then I just kind of tucked it in the back of my head, like, oh yeah, AI is doing a lot of stuff. But then I was thinking about our podcast, and I was thinking about, I couldn't imagine having, like, our whole purpose is to educate and counsel parents through this big chop of you know, late middle school, high school, early high school, transitioning to college. Even some of our listeners have a kid in college. And I couldn't imagine not being human and not having that, even us as hosts, as co-hosts, we have our vulnerabilities and we screw up and make mistakes and forget things. And I think it's potentially a theme when it comes to expressing ourselves and communicating with others. And it's the same in the college application process, that this is a human being entering into a new arena, and that's okay. And it's not a bot, and it's not perfect, and it's not, it's just like, I say it again, it's like perfectly imperfect.
Yeah.
It's like, be you. You be you.
Yeah, and there's such a craving for just originality and authenticity.
Yeah.
Such a craving. And some people may not recognize it as much as others, but eventually it's going to become a new wave.
Oh my gosh. I'm excited. Me and my wrinkles and my huge nose are so excited for this amazing back, this return to human. Mm-hmm. We had a guest in our podcast a couple of months ago. And we also had a person who is interested in starting her own podcast. And she came in to kind of observe to see how we do. She's a former student of mine. Great, great woman. I was going to say kid. She's like 40 years old now, I think, or close to 40. So anyway, she came in and she was taking notes, and I think she's maybe 35. So she was taking notes, and on our way out, I said, you know, how do you do these social media clips? Because part of having a podcast is we can't just put it out in the ether. We have to draw people to it. So we have to do these social media clips. And let me tell you, I don't know, listeners, if you've seen my, as my kids would say, cringy social media clips, because all of a sudden here I am, age 53, in front of the freaking camera. And it's like, well, there's an unpleasant surprise.
Get out of here.
I'm just saying, like, totally uncomfortable. I belong maybe in front of a classroom, in an office, but it's just totally out of my comfort zone. But to have a podcast like this, we need to, and we're part of the Forward Ed Network now, so to help with the network and our new partners, we have to be more present in front of the camera. So I asked my former student who's starting a podcast what she does with social media. And I showed her the clip, and she's just like, oh, here's what you need. And she showed me an app that is an overlay. And it literally will erase every wrinkle.
Hmm.
It will make me 20 pounds thinner,
mm-hmm.
20 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
It could change my hair color. It could change my makeup. It could put longer lashes on me. It could change the tint of my lipstick. It can get rid of my chin hair. All of it. Tara, I was mortified.
Mm.
And I thought, this is a discussion point, because what our kids see on social media, we know is BS, we know is enhanced, but also just thinking about that's the norm. Like, is that what people are doing, Tara?
Hmm.
It's like, we just need to remind each other to be human, to be humane, to give each other grace. And I know I'm digressing here, but this is, I feel like Tara and I were always in this counterforce.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're just trying to pull for these kids. So please don't let me distract you even more, but just about being authentic and being human. Like, it's everywhere.
Right, right. And then that becomes an issue when you go to do something like the college essay, because it is more of a struggle for students, right? And they don't have, maybe some of them don't have as much experience with it because of filtering,
yes,
because of social media. So as a, if I'm sitting here listening as a parent of a junior, right, one of my questions might be, well, what do I do? How do I start? Right?
Yeah.
How do I start?
Yeah.
And I've said this before. You start by having a conversation in the car.
There you go.
And you're on your way to Starbucks or wherever and dropping off, picking up, and you just bring it up in conversation. Not that it should be your only topic of conversation, but, you know, just stories. Start remembering stories. Start thinking and having conversations about those stories. Because I have been in a car with some students, you know, friends of my daughters, and it's come up. I don't know what to write about. I have nothing to write. I don't have any experiences, that panic mode. So if you start early and you start thinking, most people have more than they ever thought they had, right? So start those conversations and start thinking about, well, what did that little story tell you? Remember that time when? What was that all about? What did that make you think of, or how did that make you feel, or moving forward, what did you do to change, you know, that original situation? But I think that's where you have to dig deep.
Yeah, and we as parents know that every twist and turn that our kids are making and that we're making as well, because parents don't think that we have 1,000 of our own college essay topics we could write about and learning how to parent. But every story, every memory could have a takeaway. I think I talked about this in the other episode we did, but I took the boys whitewater rafting when they were like late high school years, and it was just the three of us, and we got paired up with these roly-poly Russian ladies that were probably into their late 60s.
Yeah.
And my kids were like, oh God, we're going to be with these babas, you know, these two babas yapping and barely any English. And they were very aggressive. Of course, they're just like my grandmother, God rest her soul. And I'm like, and then it started to drizzle. I'm like, oh, here we go. Yeah. We have these two babas in our raft and it's drizzling. And one of them ended up falling out of the raft and one of my kids had to pull them back in. And I thought, you know, there's a college essay there.
Yeah.
Like just about things that, you know, being in the right time and place and purpose. Uh-huh. And, you know, just think about parents, think about the goofy stories that,
exactly,
you know, the car breakdown or the wrong turn or the running out of gas or...
Mm-hmm.
We all have them.
Yeah.
We all have them. And they're great essays. And your kid's interpretation of that that event is the essay.
Right. Yeah. And then you start to tease that out and think about, you know, what would somebody who didn't know you or wasn't in that situation, what could they learn about your child?
Exactly.
What could they pick up on? And I think you move from there, and that's how it just starts. And I will say one more thing about the starting, right? So parents, some know, especially if you have older children who've gone through the process, that a lot of times during the end of the junior years when they get the assignment in ELA class or the English class,
yes,
to write the essay.
Yes.
Don't rely on that. It's a great start. It's a great practice. What they walk away with could be the starting point. It could be the majority of the essay, or it could be something that goes in a folder and never looked at again. So don't think that is going to wind up being the essay, because a lot of times it's done quickly. There's not a lot of energy at the end of the year.
No.
And it's done just to get that grade. I've even had students come, you know, during one of our first sessions say, oh, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. I just kind of wrote it quickly. And certainly share that, you know, with a counselor, or whoever you're working with, or, you know, tell them to share it with you if you're starting the process. But don't think that that's going to be the final
product.
Yeah,
it's not the final product.
Or even close to it.
Right. And then sometimes when it's done too soon, by the time like August rolls around,
there's some new experiences, right?
Yeah. And there's experience with, with not graduation, but seeing their friends graduate.
Yes.
Or there's just finishing up a school year brings a lot of interesting psychological closure to,
yes,
things. So there's some growth also.
Yeah. And right over the summer, you can usually, there's lots more time to experience things, right? And
yeah,
so there might be something new. But don't throw it away. It's just something to think about. And sometimes students don't even get that assignment. There are some. I've seen
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, for yeah. sure. I'm actually going in. So in high school world, May is AP month. It's all AP tests, and it's a lot. And our kids are really stressed out. They're studying for the APs. So, you know, how much of your creative juice is left for a college essay when, and not everyone's taking AP classes, though, but it's definitely an academic crunch time.
Right.
So my college essay workshop is over 2 or 3 days. I push into the English classes, and I have usually like 5 or 6 different real essays that Tara and I have curated through the years that we've asked permission for our clients, from our former clients, to use them. And what we have is, we know who the kid was who wrote it. We know their GPA. Mm-hmm. We know what classes they took. Mm-hmm. We know the colleges they applied to, where they got in, where they didn't, mm-hmm. where they ended up going, what their major was. We know the profile of that kid. So what we do, what I do for my college essay workshop is I break the kids up into like little, like almost like lit circles, but like, they're, you know, just little small cooperative groups. They read the different essays, and I actually have the identities of the kids, and they have to guess.
I remember you told me this.
Yes.
Right.
They have to guess who wrote what essay.
Right, right.
Then they have to guess like where, what their GPA was, or their AP, yep. or their SAT scores were, and if they submitted their SAT scores, because that's a new thing too. So I cycle with the essays, but I think the takeaway is this. I know that they're not going to have a finished product at the end of my essay workshop, but I want to give them permission to write about what is in the back of their head. Mm-hmm. I want them to kind of release that curtain of anxiety that they have with the unknown and say, look, here's some finished product from someone who's 2 years ahead of you. Mm-hmm. Here's a finished product from someone who's just now a senior in college. Here's someone from the Kelley School of Business. This is, he wrote about delivering pizza. Like it's like a bit of a release. And then the kids start writing, and I do get eyes on all the essays. And, but frankly, as a, you know, daytime public school employee, there's not enough time in the day to go through with a fine-tooth comb the ins and outs of the essay.
Right.
So it's more of a, I do, I have buzzers, right? So it's a bell and a buzzer. They throw different ideas to me. We make it a game show just to start thinking about. But I find that most kids do need an essay specialist or an essay boot camp. Mm-hmm. Like we do one with academic mentoring. We do it online. We do Zoom. But it's, as a parent, Your kid at that age is pushing away from you naturally.
Right.
That is emerging adulthood. They, as my husband says, they poop the nest before leaving it. And let me tell you, that was like, my husband is like, he had, well, I don't know if you guys know. So second marriage, my husband has 3 boys of his own. I have 2 boys of my own. His boys are slightly older than mine. So he knows like what's ahead for me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Tracy, trust me, they're going to be fine, but they will blank the bed and they will blank the nest before they leave it. And sure enough, it's like, oh, okay. So saying that, you know, you're trying to help your kid, which is noble, but realistically, most of them are like, go away, leave me alone, because that's where they are developmentally. So a lot of families outsource, as Tara and I see. They just outsource college planning. They outsource the essay. They outsource a lot of this. And there's a lot, there are a great amount of very talented professionals who can provide that support.
There are. And I would say just be careful, because we have found, we do a ton of research on this, and some of the people that can promise certain things by the end of a workshop, you have to be very careful of that. I have yet to find or see or witness an essay being created in one sitting. It can be done, but the quality of it, I don't know that that's something you'd want to submit to your school of choice. I don't know how much you're going to get. Maybe it's the first draft of a long line of drafts, you know?
Yeah.
And I would also say to just be careful of, if you are planning on hiring an essay specialist, be careful of signing on without, you know, understanding what's involved. Because some essay specialists or college counselors out there will require a large lump sum.
Oh, the retainer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not every kid needs that. So when you're looking for an essay specialist or whatever, see what's out there, do a little bit of research yourself, and be careful of those promises, right? Of you're going to be locked in a hotel banquet room.
Remember that lady?
For 5 hours.
The pizza lady?
There is no way. Talk about the fatigue.
I know.
The essay fatigue you will have. There is no way that that can produce.
Well, we saw the product of that.
Yeah.
And, surprise, they had to hire someone else to help with the
Unless that student is walking in having done a ton of work ahead of time.
Right? It wasn't our case that we...
So we don't know that for, that it can't work for a few, but just to be careful of that. And the other thing I'll say is, and I know this is going to sound a little like artsy, creative, but we don't get a lot of time to kind of reflect on things, right? And neither do the students. It's a lot of analytical writing in high school, middle school. They're doing a lot of nonfiction writing, and for a chance to be able to sit back, and this is College Essay Guy, one of his philosophies, which is this is an opportunity for you to really deep dive and get to know yourself a little bit better. So think of that as well, right? That's a part of it. You can maybe discover something that may help you pick a school or discover something that can help you pick a major or understand yourself a little bit better. And that can be worth its weight in gold. You might, especially in the rush of how we do things now.
Yeah. Like I see a line in our notes that says, this is not about being a good writer. It's about being a clear thinker. Right. So to your point, Tara, it's about being reflective and taking that time out. And we talked about being human and being humane. So it's the essay is that one place where our kids can kind of they have full control in that process.
Yeah. And I would say one of the things that is I feel so grateful that I get a chance to work with students. Essay writing is my favorite thing. These college essays are I feel so grateful that students share that moment with me.
Totally. It's so intimate.
It is. It's so, there are so
it's
many.
It's sacred.
Right. And some of them don't even want to, when they write it, and then the parents will say, I haven't read it yet. They won't share it with me. Eventually they do,
but parents just give it time.
Right. But getting a glimpse into these, what they've gone through or, what they're thinking about, what they're experiencing is one of the coolest things ever.
Yeah. That's why we do it.
Yep. Yeah. For sure.
Good stuff.
All right. So wrapping it up, I would just say a few key takeaways here. Most importantly, get that conversation going. Start it in the car, start it at dinner, start it on the sidelines, wherever. And just have those conversations. Maybe you don't have to say, hey, why don't you write about this for your college essay? But you could say, oh my goodness, do you remember this or that? Or has this ever happened to you? Something along those lines. Because that will get them thinking about, the things that they've experienced that sometimes we just forget about. And then also just keep in mind, if it is something that you feel would be better to outsource, be a very, just do your research. You have to do your research with regards to this.
It reminds me of like finding a good therapist too.
Yes.
You have to have
a good match.
You have to because there's, I know I just worked with a guy a couple weeks ago who does all college essays. He's a former stand-up comedian, real funny guy. Like he's awesome. Like I want to work with him. Like I want to write essays with him. So, but that may not be for somebody else. So certainly do your research on that. When Tara and I, when we have availability in our caseload with our clients, we always tell families, go to academicmentoringllc.com, take a look, read our mission statement. If you resonate with that, if that is your vibe, then we are a good match for you. We're not for everybody. Mm-hmm. So similar, finding your people.
Yeah. And if you liked what you heard today, don't forget to check out season one. I think it was from episode 5.
Okay.
We talk about college essays.
Perfect.
Give a little bit of a, I think it's a little bit more of the structure of it back then. So, and then you can certainly, read through and take a look at what other topics may interest you.
Yeah. And we like the college essay guy. Just Google him.
Great.
He's great. Ethan, what's his name?
Ethan Sawyer.
Ethan Sawyer. That's it. Star's like, it's on my tattoo. On that note,
thank you for listening to From Carpool to College. We never want parents to say, I wish I knew then what I know now. If today's conversation gave you clarity or direction, we invite you to explore more at FromCarpoolToCollege.com. And if your family is looking for personalized college and career planning support, visit AcademicMentoringLLC.com to learn how we guide students and their families through this process with intention and strategy. From Carpool to College is proud to be a member of the Forward Ed Network, amplifying conversations that support students, families, and educators. As you navigate what's ahead, remember, you don't have to do it alone.